Haganah and other terrorist organizations. So they can't really, with a straight face, call Hamas a terrorist organization and therefore not talk to it, because nobody would talk to Israel on that basis.
Well, I'm going to get a reaction from you, Richard Weiss, on what James Thring said, but first let's take a listen to some of the viewer comments that's posted on the Facebook page.
Hopefully, the new settlements will one day belong to the Palestinians. The settlements are completely legal under the international law. Israel has every right to build and develop its lands, period. The USA and UK inserted an illegal state in the Middle East, which is Israel, making the region unstable and full of terror and violence, and it will keep so as long as Israel exists. Palestine must be freed and occupation ended as a first step to create a peaceful environment in the Middle East. USA and UK are responsible for all Israeli crimes as much as Israel is, since they always support the Israeli aggressions. Where are the real Israelis? There are none in Israel, only Khazars and converted Goyim. No one has a right to Palestine, only the Palestinian. The world and its people stand with Palestine. Only corrupt Zionist corporate banking governments stand with Israel. Israel's illegal settlements are against international law, and they should be prosecuted before the International Criminal Court. This is the most sensible, decent, and honorable thing that must happen. But I realize that Israel is a lawless, apartheid regime and fraudulent. It does not care about international law.
Some of the viewer comments there. Richard Weiss, our guest, James Thring, before the break into the viewer comments, talked about the first three Israeli prime ministers in terms of them being terrorists, in terms of Hamas not having to be forced to recognize Israel, since Hamas, based on Israel's account, is a terrorist entity. Do you agree with the observations there of James Thring?
No. About the past, you can argue either way. I don't know enough about it. But in terms of the present, I think that it depends, you know, what Hamas wants. If it just wants to stay isolated in charge of Gaza with intermittent boycotts and Israeli occupation attacks and so on, then they can keep on doing what they're doing. But if they want to be part of a larger political process, lead to more positive developments, then their decision to join the coalition is a good move in that direction. So, I mean, so far, Hamas has not been particularly confrontational towards Israel, other than rhetorical. It hasn't, aside from the rocket raids, which have been pretty much stopped, we've pretty much ended with a stable situation. Now, to go beyond that, it's going to take some changes in Israel's side as well. I mean, it's, you know, Hamas will do its part, and then Fatah and the international community will have to help out as much as they can as well.
James Thring, you have a reaction?
Well, the point about international law that was made is completely flawed, because the Geneva Convention, Article 49, says that it's illegal. This is repeated in the International Criminal Court statute. It's actually defined as a war crime to move the occupier's population into the occupied land. So Israel is committing war crimes every day by moving people of their ilk into Palestinian territory. That's quite apart from the annexation of the place in the first place, which, as was said by one of the email contributors, is partly due to Britain and America, and to some extent Russia, ceding to the Zionist cause to carve out of somebody else's land a place for the Jews, when they actually had a place called Birobidzhan, given to them by Stalin in 1928 near Vladivostok. So they have no need for it, and they don't have to be so cruel to the Palestinians in killing them, taking their farms, burning their olive trees, stopping them crossing the roads, stopping them even using the roads in their own part of the land. If that's not criminal, there's no such thing as international law. But there is, and it applies to other people, other countries, so it must eventually apply to Israel. And the sooner we get it to court, the better.
Well, the landscape has to be different, Richard Weitz, when it comes to the way Israel is being somewhat treated. I mean, I don't know if you agree or not. When, for example, when we look at the fact that both the United States and the EU came out and said, you know what, we're going to work with this new Palestinian government, even though Israel, rallied to get any internationally or any countries to actually not recognize this unity government. Or even when it comes to the relationship between the United States and Israel, it's not obviously as warm as it used to be. So why do you think that is? Do you think that Israel is becoming somewhat isolated in the types of activities which are illegal being exercised on the occupied Palestinian territories?
I'm not sure I would say the relationship between the United States and Israel is getting worse. It's been not very strong, at least since Obama came in. The Obama administration and the Netanyahu government has clear differences over a wide range of issues, settlements, Iran, negotiations, and a bunch of others. And so these strains are not unknown, and we've seen them for the past few years. And this settlement issue in particular has been a source of tension between the two. With the if you recall, under Secretary Clinton, they made an early and very strong effort to stop them, and were not able to do so.
Well, James String, during the 9 months of talks that were held in this push for peace, obviously talks between the Palestinian Authority and Israel, with the United States being the mediator. The advocacy group, the Israeli advocacy group, Peace Now, said that Israel advanced plans to build almost 14,000 new settler units, both in the occupied West Bank and East Jerusalem, Al-Quds. Obviously, in some ways, it doesn't show the U.S. did a good job of bringing about a solution to the or fruition with these peace talks. Now, either Israel is not interested in peace, or U.S. is not doing a good job, or Israel has continued with this illegal settlement activities with the knowledge of the United States. What do you think it is?
Well, I think the United States is, as one of its senators said in 1993, Israeli occupied territory itself, because the Zionist faction, typified by AIPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, effectively runs or institutes American foreign policy and effectively controls even the Congress when the president decides he's going to go against them. So even when you have a dovish president, as Obama was originally, saying that he was going to settle this issue, they have a way of twisting arms, using money that they've built up in order to get their own way. So it's rather like the robber barons arming and funding the king in order to get him to fight their wars for them, which is effectively what's happening. So I'm afraid I don't see that America is getting any softer towards Israel, although Dan Shapiro did say that they oppose settlements, and even the announcement of settlements, Dan Shapiro being the American ambassador to Israel. That's a comforting comment, but what sort of force does it have? None whatsoever, because the Americans are clearly doing nothing on the Security Council. Well, actually, they are vetoing motions by other countries to condemn the Israelis on the Security Council. I think the most recent one was the most recent one I know of was UNSCR 446 in 1980, which ordered Israel to stop transferring people into occupied territories. Americans tried to veto it, but they eventually just simply abstained.
Well, Richard Weitz, the EU and the U.S. are under the impression that they're going to still try to pursue peace talks, and they still want to push the idea of a two-state solution. In 30 seconds or less, do you think that is indeed what's going to happen, or are they going to fail in that?
No. No, it's not going to work. And in 30 seconds, the key reasons I would give as the administration's priorities are elsewhere in Asia and in Europe. They don't have a good negotiating partner on the Israeli side. They're not sure if they have a good negotiating partner on the Palestinian side. They'd be worried about how Russia might displace their influence with some of the other Arab countries. And you've got the Syrian war right next door distracting people as well. So no, I think this is a very unfavorable time. And I think we're going to see another couple more years of what we're seeing now, these tensions.
Same question to you, James Thring. 30 seconds or less.
Well, I'd say that it's going to depend on whether some powerful alternative nation like Russia or China or India or maybe a combination of non-aligned nations comes together and decides, like Malaysia has already done over Iraq, to take the leaders of Israel to court for the multiple war crimes that have been committed under them. Netanyahu, in particular, in both his administrations, has been guilty of a whole set of crimes against the Palestinians, which I've documented in a book I've produced called Crimes Against the Palestinians. And it's up to the international community to take that action. And even the Jewish community.
Okay, I'm
really
sorry,
ought
unfortunately,
to be
we're just
on
fresh
side.
Out of time. I do apologize. That is James Thring, political commentator, talking to us from London. And Richard Weiss spoke to us from Washington. He's a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute. Thank you so much for watching another edition of The Debate. For Mikhail Vitagwe and the entire team here in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.